I am so freaking excited. I can't even speak. I am so fucking excited about this episode. About, honestly, I don't think you guys even remember what happened last week.
I'll give you a clue, Ellie.
2 months ago.
I don't remember.
I remember there were eyeballs and stone circles. And
there was stone circles. There was
very British.
The thing is, I went on Twitter after and said that was the best RPG experience I've ever had. None of you went on Twitter and said, me too. You just
That's
said...
That's not true. I 100% did.
You said one of my best RPGs experiences.
Well, I have a lot of great RPG experiences. And
to be fair, I don't think I saw this tweet. I plead the fifth.
Twitter is an illusion and a really dumb thing anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, and also, this was like 2 months ago. We haven't recorded in a while because some of us were busy. I think all of us were actually very busy, but it's also my fault. But, guys, last week, for our listeners, yeah, we did a crazy thing in the Faroe Islands where you got the demon out. You had a successful mission with your new cool characters. You got a demon out of this young woman who you got beauty out of the beholder, the eyes of the beholder.
Of her like eye. That whole thing. I remember there was the doctor and we did surgery. Yeah. We did surgery. Yeah. How could I forget?
Yes. Yep. You did surgery and it was like, yeah, it was like you had one die roll and that could, if you had failed, this demon would still continue to live.
Yeah.
And you would have removed the eye of a poor woman in vain.
What inspired you to make beauty look like sperm in an eyeball?
Sure. On brand for me to do that. But this adventure was written by someone else. This was a
Wait, how do you know? How do you know what it looks like?
Oh, that's just what I...
It was like a white little clot. No.
I pictured it as like the head and the little tail of the little sperm boy.
Swimming around and we're like trying to catch it. Like, oh God.
There's beauty. Oh God, it's everywhere. Blech.
When you think about it, when two people are in love and they want to make something beautiful, I guess you need that. You need
or sperm. Maybe two they people come in their in face. Love. Maybe two what? People just want to make something beautiful happen for one night only. I don't know.
I am completely in a different headspace right now. I'm like, when two people are in love, like they come on each other's faces.
Yeah, what are you saying, Ellie? I was talking about like a twinkle in your eye type of thing, like the beauty and the sperm.
Now whenever anybody says a twinkle in their eye, I'm just going to think of somebody with just a giant sperm puppy, which is the technical term.
This
Here
is
we
a
are.
Story
Welcome.
I probably shouldn't say, but
it's time.
Oh, boy.
It's time, but Saddle I have to say ladies. It because it's also the funniest story of the history of time. I had a guy friend who opened up a relationship without the consent of his then girlfriend.
He was cheating.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. Let's just give Polly and swinger folks a little bit more credit than he decided to non-consensually open up their relationship. That's a cheater, baby.
Is a liar.
He's a liar and a cheater, but also he wanted a rule that no other man is allowed to come in your face.
I can't.
And then he was like, because he's like, that's such a special thing, okay? And he told me, he's like, that's such a, like, something so intimate like that I only want to do. Like, you get it, right? You get it, Ellie. And I'm like, I don't get it, but okay, sure. And then I asked his former girlfriend, I'm like, oh, so I didn't know that you were into that stuff. And she's like, please. He did it once, and then he started crying.
Oh!
And that's the quote.
That's
I flipped
it.
Around so hard on that asshole. God, sorry, no, it's your friend, but it's sort of an asshole thing
that's
to
say. That's so funny.
I hope neither of them are listening,
I hope they are. Whew. It's not the Lost Mountain Saga if we don't open it up and just be like, dicks and sperm and jizz and coming on somebody's face. Anyway, you guys want to play a scary game?
Let's shoot some straight ropes into this game.
Oh my God.
All I want to say was that it was a beautiful arc we did last week.
It's true.
It was.
Yes. I can't contain myself because I'm very excited about playing with you guys because it's one of my favorite things that I'm doing. I have been sick every single episode we recorded, so in case anyone's wondering why my voice is so like this the entire time, it's because I put my child in daycare. How are you, Sydney? You have a show tomorrow.
Yeah, in real time. To the listeners, in that real means time. Nothing.
Yeah. Like, 8 weeks ago, you could have seen a show in New York City.
I have a show tomorrow where I play music off my album, which I put out in 2020. It's called A People Person. It's self-titled. The band is also called A People Person.
It's on Spotify, so people can still listen and support 8 weeks from now.
And there's a music video that I directed and made, that I art directed. I made all these like miniatures and stuff for a song called Shadows on the Wall. So if you're a visual listener,
is that the one with the fire?
Yes.
Yep. I loved it. 10 out of 10.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. I've shown it to, I have my production designer friend, she and colleague, I've been trying to pitch Sydney into it, and I showed her that video and she was just like, amazing. It's cooked. It's hire really cool. her right now. And I'm like, okay. Give me money. Then she's
I
like,
love her. Oh, yeah, we don't have pay me.
Yeah. And you're going to something that I don't really. Okay, so here's the thing with Anne. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I ask her, how are you? And she's like, I am doing this thing. And then she says a thing that I don't understand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She assumes that I have full understanding of what it is. True. You said something, the celebration with a capital C.
Yeah. And I'm it's like, my birthday. No, I'm kidding. It's not. I'm going to Star Wars Celebration, which is basically a Star Wars convention that they do every couple of years around the time that they need to announce a whole bunch of things. So there will be a lot of content about the new television shows. There will be panels with people on costuming and design and toy collection, like whatever corner of the Star Wars universe you call home, there's something for you there. And I'm just going to cosplay with my dad.
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad's gonna dress up as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's
and you're
a
going
name.
As the I'm going like as the Padme.
Beach Padme. I'm going as in the. I have two Padme costumes that I've built with some folks, and one is the lake dress.
Lake dress.
One that I believe George Lucas described as. It should look like if she sneezed, it would just fall off.
Oh right. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. But I look super cute in it, so come on by.
You do.
And then the other one is from the same film, Attack of the Clones, which has now just had its 20th anniversary. I am doing the picnic dress, which is like the yellow one with the corset that she's in the field with Anakin having a lunch.
Oh yes. Holy the memes.
Yeah. The and meme. He rides like a fat field boy. And she's like, oh no. And then they roll around in the grass and that's it.
Attack of the Clones. I was one of my favorite movies because she was so beautiful in it all the time.
That's really the whole movie. It's just a different costume every
but
minute.
A
and
part
a half.
Of me was like, I'm like, wait a second, that was 20 years ago? I can't have been 2 years old when that came out. And I'm like, no, I'm not 22 years old.
I love how 34. You just live in this eternal twilight realm where you are an eternal 22 years old.
Yep.
And question, which movie is it where it's the two of them and they look identical, but it's Natalie Portman and the other, what's her name?
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley. Yes. Thank you.
Well, Sydney, number one, I'm glad you right? asked.
I looked it up after Anne because I rewatched all of Star Wars not too long ago. And me and my boyfriend were like, what is going on? Like, it was just confusing.
So you were talking of The Phantom Menace. Yes. The first of the prequel trilogy.
The Phantom Menace.
But basically the whole deal with Padme, and they go into it more in the trilogy of books that I am actually about to finish right now. But they have a whole sort of program that feeds young women. This is sounding very terrible, but it comes back around the other side, I promise. Into like training to be bodyguards for the queen, but also to double as her. And so the whole reason that Amidala when she is queen, has the white makeup on her face and has these huge dresses and everything, is because they're trying to do things like disguise their faces, make all the features of their faces sort of blend together so that Padme can be a handmaid if she needs to be to get around, or somebody else, in this case Keira Knightley as Sabé, steps in, and she is the most I think Sabé's whole deal is that she's the most gifted when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, but she also is the best at imitating the queen, so she takes on the most dangerous decoy missions.
Right. When I Googled it, it basically, a much like layman term of that was like, she's like her body double, just in case.
And And they all are, and all of the girls take new names that sound like Padme, so that they all blend together. So you have Erte, so Corday, Padme, Sashe. The list goes on. I wish I could name them all. But two of them are gay, and they get married. It's great.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wait, Padme and Sashe?
So no. Padme and Sabé have like an interesting relationship because they both meet each other at a time when they're both very young and both very intense about what they want to do with their lives, and they take a lot of solace in each other, but they are never really romantically linked, although it's kind of alluded to that Sabé would be into it. But two of the other handmaidens that meet in Padme's service end up getting married and going off.
Wait, so what, Sydney, you didn't get this from the movie?
Oh, I didn't get that from the Phantom Menace. You're talking about the movie The Phantom Menace. Did I get it from
all of this? You didn't get all of this.
It must have been in the CGI background, and I missed it
somehow.
Fake
fan, fake nerds. You have to read 50 novels if you're gonna know all about the Padme fan club.
Man, I miss reading. Yeah. But having said that, I'm gonna crush your dreams now.
I'm ready.
In a different fantasy world, which is the mythical Northern Europe. Apparently we're in England as well, so I guess that's Northern Europe. Actually, England is very far north if you look at a globe, more north than I think it's like Spain is on the same latitude as New York. So that's how far up. So England is somewhere with Canada. And then Sweden, of course, is like Alaska. You know, we're in the north. Okay, cool. You got it. Where are we?
The north.
England.
I hate you.
Did I nail it or what?
Are we at Rose House?
We are not. Remember the 80s.
Oh, shit.
Is that the 80s song?
That sounds like a bad imitation of Darude Sandstorm.
I want you to guys remember, we open up on three women sitting at a table and in a Norwegian cabin sometime in the 1980s. The three of you have just finished a harrowing tale called Beauty is in the Eyes of the Beholder. It is as if time has stopped. These stories, they are just so all-consuming, and you find yourself hungering for more. Amber Smith, Jane Costner, you're sitting here with Margaret. How do you feel?
Wow. I feel like maybe they don't actually know what beauty is, because I have seen like a lot of makeup ads, and like you can look better without like killing a bunch of innocent people is the thing. So
yeah, if you want to exercise a demon, try a sick contour.
Yeah,
and a
or
blending
like
brush.
Rose water essence. It's really nice. My dad, Kevin, loves it.
Rose water?
Uh-huh.
Is this the scariest one you have?
Well, now that you mention it, I have all of these left in my possession. I don't really have the heart to throw them out. Nor do I really want to. I find myself reading them when I'm up here, you know, house sitting.
You read them in the dark by yourself up here? That's a little...
Well, there is no such thing as the internet and TikTok, Amber.
No, I just meant I'd be scared to read these by myself.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I can't even really watch scary movies by myself. Ah, I don't want to think about it. Ugh.
Yeah, Amber hates scary movies.
Did Carrie come
out
yet? It really freaked me out. If it Amber, came out already.
Amber hates scary movies. One time, we were watching a movie, and there was a car crash. And
what movie was it?
Jane punches Amber in the boob.
Ah, God.
The boob.
Yeah, she goes, tit punch, and she punches her.
My tit.
And she says, oh, I can't think of a movie from the 80s. What is wrong with me?
Back to the Future.
That's not from...
Evil Dead?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I gotta, like...
Sure, Evil Dead.
Somebody out there screaming at this audio right now.
I know Exorcist came out in the 70s. That was fine.
God, that would be terrible.
The Shining? Oh. The Shining? 80s?
Exorcist. Well, I don't know why I assumed those were, like, later in the 80s, early 90s. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Amber and I, like, watched The Exorcist when it came out, and she literally wouldn't go to sleep for, like... I don't even know. It was like 2 weeks, and she had to go to the doctor, and she had to get meds. Do you remember that? That was crazy.
I do. I was just so scared she was going to like crawl out of the television and like crawl across the floor at me and be like 7 days.
Yeah, The Exorcist. Oh. That movie where that happens.
Yeah, that's that movie.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, right. I must see that movie then with the 7 days and the videotape.
So sorry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you're brave. I mean, do you have, is there a Mr. or Mrs. Margaret?
You mean like a boyfriend or a lover? I don't like that type of human interaction, if you know what I mean.
Do you live out here?
Penetration.
That got kind of vague to very specific.
That's like kind of sad though. I mean, you live out here all by yourself and you go to your dad's old spooky house that nobody cares about anymore and you don't want anybody around. Why?
Easy.
It's a good question. I guess I haven't really thought about it, but when you spend a lot of time alone, you start realizing how to appreciate when you're not alone. Like right now, I have friends for a while. I know you guys have to leave soon, but before, would you like to maybe read another?
Yeah, pick out like your favorite one.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. I have plenty of them.
Every collector has a favorite.
I do really. It's not the season for it, but I have. It's been a while since I read this one, and she picks up a book and slides over it to you, and it reads, Midwinter Night's Dream.
Huh.
That sounds so familiar, but like different. You know what I mean, Amber?
Yeah, like Shakespeare, but like
Chekhov?
Not. Chekhov is Shakespeare, but not, but sure.
Yeah, sure.
Like Chekhov?
Like Tolstoy? I don't know. We have no stats.
She opens the book.
Our characters are dumb and we can't read. We have zero stats. Okay.
As she opens the book, we hear, Chekhov, Shakespeare, Chekhov, Shakespeare, Chekhov, Shakespeare. And we're back in the Rose House. Ba, ba, ba. Okay. We see Vanessa. Vanessa, remember Vanessa, Sydney? That's your character.
Da, Vanessa Angel.
She's in her room.
I looked it up. I just want to say, if anybody is mad out there, it's...
They sure are.
I was saying Angel, like with a soft G, but I do believe it would be Angel.
Angel, okay.
Angel, yeah.
Anyway. Like a right angle?
Like a... All right, yeah.
Instead of an ankle? All right.
Every single time you say Vanessa, all I can think of is in the Heights when he goes, Vanessa! And that's how I want to say your name.
Vanessa Angel is in her room. It's early morning. The sun has barely risen. What do you think Vanessa would be up to the first thing in the morning, Sid?
If it's an average day, I think Vanessa would be at the church, assisting the priest with, I don't know, maybe like a food drive or like something for people, you know, kind of maybe setting up the pews and everything in the church if it's for service or like, you know, whatever. She's always at the church helping.
Okay. But if she was back in Rose's house, if she was...
Oh, okay. I see. She's just in her room.
If she would be back after church service, because I don't want to block your... I don't want to cock block your thing here by being like, denied.
No, you know, maybe she took some time off. Maybe she's not helping at the church.
Well, it's an unlimited vacation.
She doesn't have to live at the church anymore. She lives at Rose's house now.
Ah.
So she used to live at the church in like the sort of attic and was doing that to help because she was living there. But you're right. So I think she's making her bed very cleanly and she is like organizing her clothes. She's a very minimal person. She doesn't have a lot of possessions. So her room is very stark. And I think she is organizing these like wooden figurines that she has, which are kind of like not crude but kind of roughly carved religious figurines. And there's also, she pulls out like hidden under her pillow, she has like a wooden pan flute, and I think she's like quietly trying to play it in her room so like nobody hears.
Oh. A small knock on the door, and you know that it's Vlada, who always brings up a cup of tea for you every morning. She still hasn't said a word to you. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't speak the language. But you've come accustomed to her singing something in her own language as she works and takes care of whatever she has to take care of in your room. The thing is, your room is spotless, so she probably just puts the tea on the table. Perhaps she straightens a painting of some kind, and then she nods towards you and leaves singing this, to you, sort of foreign language. It's not East, it's not, you wouldn't recognize it as Slavic language, but it's definitely not Scandinavian, and it's not English or French or any of the more common European languages. Meanwhile, Dame Mary Smythe is currently being dressed by Vlada, so meanwhile, 10 minutes later.
Yes, dear. Please, not too tight around the collar. The weather is so cloistering here in the walls of Rose House. You are getting along, though, are you not, dear?
She nods. And you know she would nod to whatever thing you ever said.
Yes. My dear Mr. Carter used to tell me so much about how he loved a high collar, what it would hide in the generous folds beneath. Oh, he's dead now, though, so no flirtations to be had from Mr. Carter, I'm afraid. Yes, everyone who falls for me falls to a grim demise. But we must keep trucking along there, Vlada. Mustn't we? Like, she's just as much talking at her about just the most horrible things because she never has to contend with these atrocities. Or she never gets to contend with these in front of other people.
Yeah. She, as Vlada walks sort of around you, as like, make sure that you look good in the front and the back, so to speak, she puts, weirdly enough, her hand over your heart as you're talking about Mr. Carter, in a sort of soothing manner. So, for a second, it's almost as if you're wondering, does she understand what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. But then the moment is gone, and she continues to hum and picks up your laundry. Or whatever you would have in the room in the 19th century. Good research there, Ellie.
So she picks up her little cane. Now she has this like cane with an onyx stone on top of it and goes off in search of Vanessa.
Perfect. Vanessa is waiting for you in the seating area of the Rose House, where the two of you probably would have, if you would have breakfast, you would probably have it in here together or with other members of the Rose House. People come and go because the way I picture this, this is sort of a society where everyone is on their missions and compare notes, but the two of you have definitely hit it off since you were in a very intense recent situation together. And it's been a couple of months. And before we continue, I would like to talk about the fact that you earned 8 experience points and yeah, 7 development points. Development points is a new thing that we didn't even touch upon it last season, but it's headquarter upgrades. You can do a bunch of cool things with your headquarters. And since we have a headquarter now, this is what we're gonna do. So you can spend points on, for example, getting a stable that will do certain things, getting a weird sex dungeon. No, you can't do that, but you can get a
stable boy, perhaps.
You already have a butler, and you already have a library. Those are 2 upgrades that are free. The butler is an eerie man, played by, in my head, Michael Fassbender. Very, in Prometheus. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird and android-y.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What's his name? I feel like you said his name.
Hawkins. Butler Hawkins. But yeah, so you have a couple of things you can do. Also experience points. That's a different thing to use to level up your characters. So you can choose new talents. You can get resources. There's a bunch of fun things you can do with these points. And you get points after every mystery is solved. So that's why you did get points from the first mystery. I don't know if you remember, but it was a
TPK.
And I've actually recently listened back on those episodes, and it's hilarious how
terrible awful, it goes, how fast
awful,
it is.
How it's like, you're a tall woman, why are you tall? And it's like, we're in the lair of the Vassin, let's piss her off. Why are you so tall? And it's like, alright, here's poison. Okay, and then you drink it.
Lydia wasn't that smart, okay? I was
Meanwhile...
playing...
I'll never forgive you. I just wanted to live my gay dreams.
Oh, sorry. Now we have the best characters ever, though. Ever. I
well,
love Lydia.
Well, Liza. I have some ideas we've sort of chatted a little bit about what we might do with our 7 development points. I think no home is complete without a botanical garden.
Mm.
And... the way that these work is some elements cost less but have prerequisites. So the path I'm thinking for us, and you can tell me whether you agree with this or not, Sid, is Botanical Gardens, which allows a player to heal 2 mental conditions if they spend a scene in there. And a Carp Pond, which allows 1 player to start the mystery with 2 advantages.
Huh. I do like that. Where's the Carp Pond?
Also, why would a carp pond do that? I love that. We're like, what's...
You know what?
Like, oh, it's
sometimes
a fish.
You just need to meditate on some fish friends. And that's how...
Oh, I see.
...the world works. But then, can't we buy people to... Can't we purchase people?
Yeah. You... So, don't for instance, hire... for the botanical garden, the carp pond has a prerequisite that you need the botanical garden. So first you buy the botanical garden. And the prerequisite is a gardener. Yeah. So we also have to hire a gardener. And this is all new, because if you didn't know from first season, we didn't fucking do any of this.
we were just like,
this is our
guys.
Cool, crumbling house with very little mechanical advantage, but all of the heart one could desire.
Okay, so a gardener...
I also had a vision that Francibald had done, all the work, and you guys just inherited it, but now I'm like, no, this is so much more fun. Why did we do this?
So the gardener costs 4.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the botanical
garden...
So we
can't do both.
Yeah, costs 4. Dang
but
it.
But the garden doesn't require... So having the garden doesn't require... Oh, no, it does.
Wait
it
a
does.
Second. Did we decide that both of you get...
Oh,
so
we
you
have a
14.
Combined.
You have 14.
We have 14. Yeah. 14.
That makes more
okay,
sense.
This, wow. We can really get a lot done here. All right. So...
Yeah.
All right. 4 for botanical gardens. 4 for the gardener.
Okay. And then the carp pond is two.
Is two. So altogether, we've spent 4, 5, 6. We spent 10.
Okay.
Leaving us 4 more. All right. We could. Yeah, what are you thinking?
I really want. I would really love, like, a library of sorts. Yeah, I just feel like Vanessa is a very astute, like, learner. She knows a lot about religion, obviously, but the occult is not that familiar to her, unless it's, like, religious related. So I think she would benefit. But we do have a library.
We have a library, but we don't have the occult library, which costs, I think, 4.
The occult library.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that leads to a bunch of cool stuff if you're, like, looking up the talent tree. Like, we could get an occult workshop eventually, or a temple. Who doesn't love to worship the damned?
You know what I love, too, is we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this on air. Maybe we did. But, like, Rose House, like, many, many iterations of people with the site have been in Rose House. So, like, there's all these different areas that may be, like, unexplored. Just completely, like, we didn't know about it. People didn't realize that was there. So I love the idea of, like, this occult library being hidden. Like, absolutely hidden. And accidentally, Vanessa, you know, like, pulls a candlestick. Not really, but, like, that type of thing where there's, like, a wall reveal. Yeah. And the bookcase spins around. She, like, spins in. But she, like, finds this sort of dusty old place and just at first is like, oh, another wing of this library, you know, it must connect or something. And then as she starts to realize, like, oh no, this is different, this is weird. Then that explains why it takes her more time to, like, explore the library, and it's big and it's like you got to fix it up. But yeah, I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think I really like that too. I
think so that costs 5 points for the library, so we can't get it yet.
Can we get it? You can save points till if you survive next adventure, which you won't, then you can use it for next time.
Can we get it and not get the carp pond?
Yes.
I will allow it.
And we'll get the carp pond is cheap. We'll just get that. We'll get another point and we'll get that one.
Yeah. Not a problem. I'm totally willing to sacrifice that for a cool occult library. Who's... And the library requires that we have an occult book from a mystery. So I submit that we enter the journal that had all of the notes on beauty as our occult book prerequisite.
What do you think, Ellie?
How do you rule?
I got distracted by thinking about the come in your face story from before.
Jesus Christ.
She's lost. She's gone to us.
Doing art here.
Say that exact same thing again, because I'm not going to listen to it in edit, because I want to hear it.
I think Ellie says yes. I think that's the ruling.
Sounds perfect. Beauty. Awesome. Oh, beauty. Amazing. Right. So beauty is in the... that book would be in the
book with all the notes. Yeah, so when we bring that, that's our prerequisite book.
Interesting. For the audience, as they enter this occult library, perhaps they recognize some other books. Perhaps there's a book called The Lost Mountain Saga in there. Perhaps there's a book, whatever the first adventure name was. Perhaps.
I think there's also Astrid's mother's book that she continued to put entries into is in there for sure.
See, this is how the universes collide. Perfect. Thank you. That was a great idea, Ellie.
Well, you're welcome, Ellie.
Let's Spoonicorn. Talk about level ups then. What talents do you guys want to buy?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I love having the physical book. I gotta say, it's like very special to crack it, and it's such a beautiful book. Every time I open it, I'm not mad about it.
As opposed to other books.
Sometimes they're complicated, and I'm like, I don't fucking want to read this.
The Paizo books.
Dude, I know. Not to shit on Paizo, but they are. There's just so much. It's very confusing. Okay, I know what I'm doing.
What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about getting?
So if you remember, I had a talent called Absolution, which I used with Mary. What it does is you can heal up to 3 conditions. So that is very helpful, but you can only do it once per mission. Right. So I used it and it was gone. But now I think I'm going to get the talent blessing, which is also once per session, but I can bless an object or another character, and the character or anybody who uses the object that I bless gains the blessed advantage, and they get a +2 to a test of their choice. So that could come in clutch for a moment. And I love it because it's a little bit like D&D, you know, like I'm literally blessing. So I'm like, oh, like bless spell, bard or something. But yeah, so I'm going to do that.
Nice. So I think I'm thinking about this as far as like what she would have tried to become better at now that she's out in the field. And I think her cane is actually like a little cane sword, and she has been working on combat training to improve her stage combat to the real thing.
Can I make a proposal for that? Because I think it would be hilarious. Because Vlada is definitely there as a buffer. When I saw the two of your characters, I'm like, they're gonna need some muscle. So Vlada is actually a soldier-servant hybrid.
Oh, okay.
But how about she has practiced with you? Like, it's a weird sort of power dynamic where she is such a such a servant to you in every other way, but when it comes to like the battlefield, that's when she's like, strengthen up, be better.
And I love that that sort of translates to something they do in the early mornings in the botanical garden, where they before it's time to dress for like at dawn, they meet out there, and until it's time to get dressed for the day, Vlada's in charge totally and completely.
Yes.
But then the roles sort of reverse when it's time to get dressed and she requires Vlada's assistance as a servant.
I love it.
So I will take combat trained, giving me a +2 to close combat and force when parrying.
All right.
Nice. Yeah.
I think it's a solid general talent. General talent. it's a solid general talent. I have often kind of left the general talents off because I'm like, oh, I want something special from like a cool tree. But I am playing the entertainer, which is new from the Mythic
Britain
book, and they don't have all, or they didn't at the time that we first started playing, have all of the talents available for the entertainer. So I'm just kind of living my best life. So yeah, close combat. Let's do it.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
All right. So the two of you, perhaps you just found the occult library. You're excited about that. Perhaps you just saw the poof gardener who showed up. Like in The Sims, it's just like, boom, he's there.
Oh, wait, who's our gardener? Who's our actor who plays the gardener, male or female?
I'm thinking it's a male, played by, okay, I'm thinking it's a tiny, tiny little, oh, William H. Macy.
Yes, amazing.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's my favorite actor of all time. Love him so much. I just saw Boogie Nights the other day, and he has a small role in it, and he's just the best thing about that entire movie, which is a great movie. But he just shows up and is like, apparently I'm supposed to build a carp pond, and he starts building it. It'll be ready in about 3 weeks if you survive your next mystery.
I like if he digs it up, he like has the whole thing and it's like there, but he just doesn't put the fish in.
Yeah.
And we keep having to be like, you have to put the fish into the pond. It is for them. That is the carp part of the pond. Otherwise, it is just water in the ground.
I understand, miss. But due to my contract, I can't put the carp in until you reach two
you
more experience
are
points.
The gardener. You have to put the fish in the pond. Otherwise, it is just muddy hole.
Ma'am, I need you to control your emotions right now.
You look so familiar, like actor I know. Do you know William H. Macy?
Funny enough, that's my dad.
Whoa.
Okay. I've never heard of him, she says, sweeping into the room. What are you doing here at breakfast, Mr. Macy?
And then comedically, Mary Smythe, like, ooh, falls into the muddy carp pond.
Yeah.
Now we do a sitcom. This is all just a sitcom.
Mary fell in the car pond. You guys all had a laugh about it, except Mary, who hated it because it humiliated her.
Oh, bother.
And Vlada gets you dressed again, and now you're in the breakfast room. Having tea for the fifth time, probably, this morning. Hawkins enter with a letter addressed to the Rose House. And the two of you get two individual letters, actually. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation from a certain Konstantin Konstantinovich. Oh god, I'm so cold, so I can't say it probably. I'm like, Konstantinovich. Konstantinovich. Oh god. He's Count of Jomberg in Ingria. The region of Ingria. You would know about this region. It's a region close to Finland, Estonia, and Russia at this time.
Might we be able to do a learning check to see if we might be able to recall some additional information about this Mr. Konstantinovich?
Absolutely.
And Ingria.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, roll learning. Roll whatever you want. That would make sense. Not whatever, ever, like, not physique, but...
I have acquired one success!
Let me check what I have. Ooh, one success. Two success.
So...
And?
Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm not done. Okay, that was it.
Am I finished? I'm finished.
Hold on! No. You would know, like I said, that Ingria is a region between Estonia and Russia, beneath Finland, by the Baltic Sea. But however, you know that it can't really be called a state or like a country of its own, because outside forces has fought over this place for centuries, Sweden and Russia particularly. But the land is ancient, and the Swedes refer to it as the Wild East. And at this time, when this game takes place, there's a lot of Finns who've migrated to this area, and along with other people who already live there, Ingrians and the Vodic people, Estonians, etc. The region is quite diverse, with a mix of cultures, languages, and religions. However, for our listeners, as of 2022, this part of the world and Ingria, it's currently part of Russia. But also the people from this region, they're referred to as the Forgotten People, because they're basically going extinct. Like, their language is going extinct. There's, like, just a couple of hundred still living. So they're referred to as the Forgotten People. And this adventure is written by Kiku Puk Hedenstam, and it was one of my favorite adventures in the new book, Seasons of Mystery, which is an add-on for Vasen. Because I thought it was so inspiring and interesting to tell stories about this region that is so rarely portrayed. I feel like there's not much in media at all about Finland, Estonia, like the Baltic countries at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually, you know, Viking, Scandinavia, or Russia, yeah. when people are talking about like the northeast of Europe. So that's why I thought this is cool. So that's what you know about Ingria. Regarding the Count, you just know that he's a wealthy man who is quite into the occult. And this invitation, he's inviting you for a midwinter plot, which is a celebration of midwinter. You would know that there's a midsummer blot and a midwinter blot, and for those of you who listened to the first season, there's a Valborg blot that the two of you got dragged into and started. I think there was a lot of sex involved in that episode. It's like a Spring Awakening blot, like with the bonfire. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I remember
that. Cindy. I loved that episode.
And he says in this letter, at the midwinter blot, that I'm hosting a gathering which I believe would be of interest to you. The meeting brings together individuals of different backgrounds with a shared interest in the supernatural, those who seek a deeper understanding through the process of alchemy. And it would be a great honor and pleasure to have the society grace our gathering with its presence. I shall wait for you at my residence outside Jamburg on the 20th of December to discuss the secrets and mysteries of life. Yours sincerely, Count Konstantin Konstantinovich. P.S. All things are connected.
Ooh. Oh.
Well, I must say I am intrigued by this sort of invitation. It is seldom outside of these walls at Rose House that we are able to connect with others in the field to truly share what we have seen.
Ah, but do you believe that he can see? If you know what I mean.
I believe that there are those that can see and those that wish to count themselves very important in their desire to see such things. And whichever side he falls upon, he has enough money and clout to call the other side to bay here and to discuss their experiences. I do not know if he can see, but with a name like that, he may in fact be a vampire himself. Ha ha! The Count!
Vanessa is just stone-faced, just staring. Do you really think that he could be vampiric?
I don't. I'm not sure of that. That's silly. That's silly, really.
Oh.
I'm not hoping that he is at all. I mean, I've never dreamed of meeting a vampire in the dark of night, in the cover of my private quarters, whereupon he falls upon me. Oh, no! And it's just, it's so terrible. I would never think of such a thing, no.
That is a dream you describe so vividly, one might think you do dream.
No, no.
This is interesting.
That's crazy. No, no, not me. I love blood inside the body, where it belongs.
I will... You hear a little dun-dun, and it just says, Vanessa will remember this. But Vanessa, I think, she says, this would be a wonderful opportunity for research, no? But I will, how do you say, to be on my guard. You are a very outgoing woman. You have a lot of charms. I am more skeptical of those who take me in. But I think together we make a wonderful team, and I trust your guidance and judgment. I will go to meet the Count with you.
I'm glad to hear that, and I do agree there is a sort of intrigue to the way we go about our lives in such different ways, and whereas I might be on the more ostentatious side of things, I think that leaves the door open to different shenanigans from the church. I don't know. I've had too much to drink already.
This is 7 a.m., Mary.
I fell in a carp pond, and I deserve a treat.
I did forget about the carp pond. It was
also
quite shenanigan, as you say.
Also, I am very sore from all the training I've been doing with Vlada. If these old bones could talk,
Oh, we should ask Vlada. That is a great idea. You are so smart of a woman. And I bring the letter also.
Thank you.
I call Vlada in, and I just also show her the letter. I don't know if she can read it, but she just says, would you like to come with us?
Vlada looks at you, then looks at Mary Smythe, and then looks at you again, points to the eye, as if, is that gonna happen again?
No. But
maybe.
No promises, Vlada. I cannot promise you things with that of which I do not know.
Vlada nods at that and then hurries out and then comes back with a couple of weapons that she's about to pack, getting ready for the trip.
Yes, do select your favorite ones. We may have occasion to use them, not as a first means of diplomatic negotiations, but as a backup in case of danger and sharp fanged individuals. And she sort of looks out the window longingly.
Vlada looks at Mary and Vanessa, clearly meaning that she would like to bring all of it. Not choose.
Oh, she does love that small little dagger knife. She did have that before. We should let her do that. She's very good with this small knife.
And you want to bring them all, Vlada?
Yes.
Interesting. Loves to keep us on our toes, that Vlada does. A suitcase full of death.
The Count did not say we could not bring weapons, so I do not think we are breaking rules.
And as you can, in the bag, you'll see three rifles, great swords, something that looks like a bob. You're not quite sure.
Do not think only one great sword, considering you would need both hands for.
She takes out a mace.
All right.
And then she's
they
like,
may have show and tell, I'm not sure. Like, she's like, she's gone from being like, yeah, take whatever you want, to kind of thinking a little bit about this.
Like, TSA. Thinking, like, what's kind of TSA gonna say?
Yeah.
But Vlada, as she starts packing up and gets ready for this mission, you hear that song again. That song that you've been hearing her sing every morning. And, you can't really place it yet, because you would have to do another roll for that. But it makes you get in the mood for going on this journey. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you remember about Ingria from the book, and the last thing that you read about Ingria, is that it gets really, really cold in the winter.